Looking for clarity and confidence when it comes to decision-making for your business? You've come to the right place. You're now listening to the Atomic Business Coaching Podcast.
Welcome back. This week, we're going to talk about self-inflicted responsibilities, and I use an acronym called Excuse Me, Sir, S-I-R, self-inflicted responsibilities. The purpose today and what we're going to do is we're going to go over six different areas. We'll explain a little bit more in detail about what these responsibilities are. I'll talk about how to use or not use rules. We will discuss flexibility and self-trust. Another area is intuitive decision-making. This is very important. Next will be time management and productivity. And finally, we talk about next steps that you can take to use all this information and then what the expected results are. All right, Tom?
Sounds great.
Great. In the next section, we'll go into SIR, self-inflicted responsibilities. So I always try to use these different things that I can just remember very easily. What are they called something, Tom? Like mnemonic devices or something like that? What is
yep.
it called?
Yep. It's a mnemonic device.
That's what it is? Yep. Is it mnemonic or demonic device?
Mnemonic.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be demonic.
It can be demonic.
If you don't use them, right? Okay. So this one is excuse me, sir, right? And I'll say this to myself every once in a while. Excuse me, sir. Like, do you really have to do that thing? Excuse me, sir. And sir is a self-inflicted responsibility. And many of you who are watching this or listening to this are business owners, right? Or you're starting a business and you have all these responsibilities of things that need to get done. Well, if you're the boss, if you're the owner, you put them all on your own shoulders, right? Isn't that right, Tom?
100%. I think we do this often, and we do it because of a lot of different reasons. One of the big reasons is we feel like if we're not doing it, then it's not going to get done, and some of our control issues come up. But that's one of the biggest sabotaging habits that a lot of us side hustlers and business owners have, is to try to do it all yourself.
Right. And a lot of times you will put these responsibilities on your shoulders, even though they really don't need to get done. Okay. They don't need to get done at all. Not that that you don't need to get them done. That's called delegation, right? And that's a lot, at least for me, where the control issues come is I would delegate something and then I'm worried it's not going to get done and I'll just jump in and do it for somebody, right? If it's not getting done and you have to jump in, different story. But that's delegation, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the things that don't really have to get done and you pile them on your plate. And that is a self-inflicted responsibility. Now, you may think to yourself, well, this is going to help me grow my company, or this is going to help me make more sales or develop another product. But there are other things that are in front of you which must get done. And okay. Some of those tasks, you are the only person that can or should be doing these things. So what you have to do is separate them out. And separate it out into these are the things that must get done. And these are just self-inflicted responsibilities that I don't really need to do. And I put them on my plate and I filled up my to-do list with them. And usually why is that happening? It's because you don't want to do the other things that must get done. So we always have, you know, I'm sure you've experienced this in sales when you call somebody and they say they have no time. And that's because they have these self-inflicted responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Any day of the week, I can have anybody call me and I will have time for them all the time. And people are always like, how can you meet with me right now? You run all these different companies. You're doing all this different stuff. How do you have time? Because I very rarely have self-inflicted responsibilities. I have passion projects that I enjoy doing. Okay, I have requirements that I need to do. And I have the work that I've sold that I must produce. But in between all that stuff, I really don't put this nonsense on top of me. But what we see is many people who have a 9-to-5 job and they're trying to build their side hustle are doing that instead of just doing what needs to get done. So in the next section, we're going to talk about don't give yourself rules. And really, what am I talking about here, Tom? Do you know what I'm talking about or not?
Well, I think it's don't be so strict and hard on yourself to get so much done. Do the things that you can do when you can do them, right? I mean, that's really what you're saying, because the rules sometimes that we self-impose on ourselves become the overwhelming part of what causes so much distress and frustration for a lot of side hustlers and business owners. So, I mean, it's really just do what you can that you know you can when you can.
Right. And that's the thing that you said is, you know what you need to do. And when you give yourself these rules, okay, and I'll use an analogy that most of you can probably align with or understand, is going to the gym, right? So mm-hmm. a lot of people will set out, you know, they haven't been in fitness. They're like, you know what? I'm going to get myself in shape. This happens a lot for like New Year's resolution style stuff. Like, I'm going to join the gym. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week. I'm going to split it up into these sessions. I'm going to go at 9 a.m. and then I'm going to go for an hour. And then after that, I'm going to do this thing. And then you know what else I'll do? In the days I'm not going to the gym, I'm going to go running. And I'm going to do these things too. And they're like all pumped up. They're like, this is a great framework to mm-hmm. set up so we can get it done. And you're like all excited. And you go day one and you do it. And you're like, wow, this is fantastic. And you go day two. And then what happens is maybe day three or four or five, something comes up in your life. And you're like, oh man, I can't go at that time. Or I can only go for 20 minutes. I can't go for the hour. And then what happens is, day four or five, you're like, well, if I can't do the whole hour, I'm just not going to go because I set these rules up for myself that I must do these things.
Right.
So then you tend to not do it at all. And what happens at that point is you'll go for a period of time where you don't do anything. Okay. And then you'll start to think of a new plan. All right. So here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to go at 7 o'clock at night for a half an hour, but instead of 3 days a week, I'm going to go 7 days a week. And that works for a little while. And then you don't get it done again. So I'm sure you've all experienced this with fitness at one point in your life or another. I'm sure you've experienced it with dieting or anything that you're trying to change in your life. And that's what happens is typically when someone wants to change, and we are here talking about business and how do you grow and build a business, you're changing your life. You're trying to quit your 9-to-5 and go and start this business. And you're setting yourself all these rules, and you might have taken them off the shelf of one of these books that Tom or I has up here and said, oh, this is a good protocol. I'm going to do this, then that, then this, then that, then this. And here's what I have experienced myself and with a lot of my clients. If you can just go ahead and do the things you know you need to do when you have the time to do them, they will get done. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are your thoughts on this, Tom?
You know, it's really crystal clear. I mean, rules become these obstacles at times for a lot of us. And when you put all of these impositions on yourself, you are seeking some kind of perfection, right? You want to do this really great. And I think the analogy of the gym was a great example. It's like, if I'm not going to do this perfectly, and in your perfect mind, you have this idea that you go, you do the exercises, you do it during this time frame, and you do it for this long. And you get caught up so much in that image and that vision that you lose the benefit of what just doing some of it can accomplish. And that's what we're trying to emphasize, is that it's about the progress that you make by doing it when you can do it and when, instead of following the rule to do it. Because the rule only creates more obstacles. And as business owners, you don't need more obstacles in your way. So don't create them.
Exactly right. So that's the problem, is you're creating an obstacle. So let's say you're new in business and you're going to do 40 sales calls a day. Okay, because that's all the time you really have to do it. Because we all know 40 sales calls is not enough if you're just the sales guy. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do 40 sales calls in the day. And you go in today and you do 10 sales calls, and one of them ends up becoming a client. You're excited, right? But that's all you can get through. And then tomorrow you do your 40 and you don't get any done. Now you start changing those rules too. Well, when I only did 10 sales calls, right, I got a client. Maybe because I did 40, I had the wrong clients, and you start. And it's all these different rules. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have to follow this exact protocol to get that exact outcome. Now, I am certainly not saying for you to just go and start doing stuff with no idea of how or when or why you're going to do it. And this is the key. You know exactly what you need to do. If you need to make sales, you need to make sales calls. Okay. If you need to develop an operating system, you have to sit down and write it. Okay. If you need to hire somebody, you probably need a job description. You know exactly what you need to do. Now what you just have to figure out is, well, when can I do that? And you don't have to not follow any rules at all. Okay. You can put on your calendar. And this is what Tom and I do all the time. We sit down and say, when can we do this thing? We just did it before we got and recorded here. When can we do this other thing we're doing? And we looked at our calendars and says, here's when we could do it. And that's the idea, is you know exactly what you need to do. And if you figure out when you can do that and just do it, that's all you have to really follow. Okay. There is structure that you need for your employees, but in the next section, we'll talk about flexibility and self-trust. So flexibility and self-trust. Let's get your feedback, your take on these, Tom.
Well, a lot of people doubt themselves. They don't know how to trust themselves and they become overwhelmed and they wind up overthinking because they don't trust themselves and they give themselves even more restriction. And, you know, that's where flexibility really is important. The more you trust yourself, the more you're able to adapt. It's really a form of confidence, right? It's really about being able to adapt to the circumstance and the situation. And, you know, one of the things that we haven't said to this point is that be intentional about all these things that you want to do, because when you're intentional, they become the main mission for you to get done that day. But if you're not setting the right intention, they just become all this noise. And then it becomes very rigid that you've got to do it in these time slots. But the key is that you have to remain flexible and open to change and constantly being able to negotiate the time. But it all comes from your self-trust and being able to adapt and know that when something comes up, you're still going to be able to get it done. And that's really trusting yourself.
Good. So I'm going to come back to you I'm going to talk a little bit about flexibility, and then I'm going to come back to Tom, and we're really going to use his wisdom on how to gain trust. So when we talk about the flexibility, right? And that's kind of what I'm saying. If you don't have any rules, you need to have a little bit more flexibility, but you're going to need to have this trust that you're going to get things done. Okay. So the flexibility part is really near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. Is when I decided that I was going to be a business owner, one of the main benefits of that was flexibility. And I'm sure many of you have felt the same exact way. And you found that when you went through and did your work that, wow, I have this flexibility. Some of you put very rigid rules on, and some of you just did it when you can. But what we're trying to make sure is that we retain that flexibility. And once you start having these very rigid rules, you almost have a resentment of the work that you're doing. You resent everything that you do every day. You're not going to want to do it anymore. I'm not saying that it's going to be fun and it's going to be super exciting and you're going to be so passionate about it. But if you know at 9 a.m., I have to sit down at my desk every single day and do this mundane task, you're not going to feel really good about doing it. Okay. And I don't mean excited, but you're not going to sit down saying, okay, I'm going to get my work done. Okay. So there are certain items that must be that way because of scheduling issues. Like Tom and I meet with clients, you know, and I have a client on Monday mornings at 7 a.m. and there's days I was up late on Sunday night. Now I don't want to be there, but that is something that I have committed to. Mm-hmm. But all the other things as a business owner, we get to retain this flexibility. And that's part of the beauty of it, that if you know what you need to get done and you know when you can do it today or tomorrow, the next day, then it's like, wow, I still have this autonomy to do things the way I want to do them. And the reason I say this is many people go into business because they want flexibility and freedom. Okay. But when they give it up, they start to think, do I want to be in this anymore, right? Do I want to actually live this anymore? And that's not why we got into it. So if you can stop setting so many rules, you can retain the ability to have that flexibility. And the real key to flexibility is that you inspire innovation. That's what business owners do. Is we change people's lives by innovating something and solving a problem in a different way than anybody else ever has, or solving a problem better than somebody else has. And if you don't have this freedom to go about and be yourself, who is the person who created and grew a successful business, then you will lose that and you will plateau. Right. And that's why we need to retain flexibility. So Tom, here's what I want to talk about with the self-trust and gain some of your wisdom. What are some of the ways that someone can trust that, all right, if I don't have these rules and if I'm kind of flexible, how do I know I'm going to get this done. Like, how can I make sure I get this done and gain the trust in myself that I will actually do what I said I'm going to do?
Yeah, it really comes down to knowing yourself and your personality type. You have to be understanding and in control of yourself and not let yourself be so judged by the things you may or may not do. And it really comes down to, you know, competence is what creates confidence. And being competent in what you do is going to help you with your confidence. But the thing that really shakes your confidence or determines your level of confidence is how much you trust yourself. So one of the things that, like, a lot of people here are probably saying, I can't believe Adam and Tom are talking about don't have rules and have flexibility. But that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, excuse me, we have to be confident enough in ourselves to know the work that we need to get done and know all of the other things that we have to satisfy in our life around us. And like you said, the reason we became business owners was for the flexibility that it offers. And trusting yourself really comes through the experience of you as in situations. Right. So when you are familiar with situations and you have done this before, then you know you can trust yourself to continue to do it because you have formed the habit. And it really comes down to the strength of your habits that will allow you to trust what you are able to do. If you have very weak habits, if you have bad boundaries and you don't know how to be self-protective, your trust in yourself is going to waver. Because when we think about trust, think about it as, I really think the best example is of, even this is more about boundaries, but think of like a fence, okay? Think about a fence around your property. You live in that zone of what's trusted that is inside of the fence, okay? And you can trust what goes on because you can control what goes on in that area. And sometimes something tries to come over the fence and jump into your space. And what you have to be able to do is not allow that thing to take control of the situation, but you have to figure out how you're going to control your response to the situation. But that's where all of your experiences and all of the things that you have done in setting boundaries and doing the work that you do, that's where you know you can trust yourself to respond the way you should. And I think that's the most important thing here to take out of this is when we put responsibilities on ourselves that are self-inflicted responsibilities, we have to not get caught up in the noise and the overwhelm of putting too much on our plate. What we have to do is just find what we must do and trust that we're actually going to move and get those things done because we've been able to do them in the past. And the other piece is when we haven't done those things, when we haven't experienced, because a lot of our self-doubt comes from doing something new. And when we haven't done that thing before, what we have to remember is what did we do the last time we didn't know how to do something? And trust yourself to walk through that process again to find a new result and to find a new outcome. But it's really in honing in on who you are and what you feel the most capable doing, and that you know that no matter what, any situation, you have the experience to overcome any of the obstacles in your way. And that's how you start to really formulate the trust that you have in yourself.
I like that. I'm going to borrow part of your analogy there,
mm-hmm.
especially for the times that you haven't done this before, and maybe you don't know if you have competency or not, which is that fence and these boundaries, right? So mm-hmm. if you want to be able to trust yourself, and that's what I'm trying to get out of this section, is to make sure, obviously, you retain your flexibility, but see that, all right, I can trust that I'm actually going to get this thing done without some rigid rules or structure. So if you've never done something, right? So let's say you're going to go do, one of our clients just did his first speech, right? And he had to go on stage in Ohio and do his first speech. Well, you can actually build that fence for yourself, okay? And you can say, okay, here is what I'm going to protect from anything bears or anything coming in over that fence and stealing your time. Because that's really what it's about when you're trying mm-hmm. to do things. It's about people stealing or things stealing your time from you. So you can, number one, is say, all right, I'm going to get it done in this time frame, right? And you can give that fence, right? That boundary of, okay, I'm going to get this thing done, but it's going to take me the next 3 days. It doesn't necessarily have to be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., but it has to be in the next 3 days. So I know for me, when I tell myself I'm going to get something done in a certain time frame, I can't live with myself if I don't do that. Now, for you, it may not matter, and you may be able to just pass it over. So another way you can do that is share this with a friend. So in our Project 2740 community, okay, which if you're not a part of that, you should check that out on school.skool.com, and it's Project 2740. We have something called our WAM, our weekly accountability meeting. And what we do in there is we have everybody list out their top three priorities for this week. Okay. When you share what you're going to get done out there in public, you're more likely to do it. It doesn't guarantee you'll get it done, but you're more likely to do it because instead of you being accountable to yourself, you're accountable to, I said this in public. You know, they tell that for people, like if you're going to quit smoking, you put a deadline on the calendar, which is what I'm saying, give yourself a time frame, and then you tell somebody, I'm going to do this. So that's one way that you can start gaining this self-trust. Another way that I've done in the past is look at what you're about to do and look in the past and see what you have already accomplished. Okay. And when you did have a deadline or you were starting something new and say, write the, like physically write it down and say, okay, I did this amazing thing that I was not competent in before I started. And I wasn't sure if I'd get it done in time. And you can write down three or four of these items that invoke a feeling, right? Because that's what we're attached much more to our emotions than our outcomes. And if you can attach it to this feeling, well, then you can start to visualize how you would accomplish this new thing you're setting out for yourself. Okay. And remember, not a self-inflicted responsibility. This is something that you must get done, except you don't want to put a rule or a structure around it. So you can start to gain trust by looking at when you earned trust in the past. And that's really the fear factor of all this is you're worried you can't do it because you can't see or feel or know that you've ever done it before. So I like to rely on past experiences that are proof and evidence that I can actually do these things. Okay. 100%. In the next section, we're going to talk about intuitive decision making. This section should be kind of brief, and it's one of the hardest things to do, but one of the simplest things to accomplish. And if you know Tom and I, you know our philosophy is business is simple. It's just not easy. So this embodies that entire philosophy. Intuitive decision making is very simple. To consistently do it over and over again is not that easy. And what it comes down to is the sixth sense. Okay. We have five senses that we know about, right, Tom?
Yes, we do.
But the sixth sense is a real thing. And you've heard it before. It might have sounded silly to you, but it's called your gut. Your gut instinct, right? You have that gut feeling. You have these instincts, okay? And what this is, in deep down inside of you, you know exactly what decision you need to make. You're just scared shitless to make it, okay? So what you have to do, and what is really simple, is you have to start listening to yourself, okay? We say this often, Tom and I, is that you have to find the signal amongst the noise. Okay, so, you know, all these books that I have around me, most of these books that I read, there was a line or a chapter or a paragraph that I took out of that was the most valuable piece of it. I don't really remember the other 255 pages, but that one line changed my life. And that is the signal amongst the rest of the noise of that book. Now, the rest of that book may have been very useful for you or for Tom or for my kids or for somebody else, but I'm trying to find my signal. And when you are trying to find your signal, what you have to do is listen to yourself. Listen to that intuition. Hear what that voice is saying, because it is very wise. And it's wise because it has lived its entire life with you. It knows how you act. It knows how you react. It knows how you get things done. It knows how to receive dopamine and pleasure from things. And if you start listening to what that voice inside of you has to say and take action on it, make the decision from it, you'll probably have more and more progress throughout your life. But most of us are too busy saying, well, they said I'm supposed to do this, following someone's rule.
Right.
Or I just bought this course and the framework says to do these things. Well, any piece of information you get in your life, what you are supposed to do is not follow it blindly. You are supposed to adapt it to who you are. And that is how you got in business in the first place. You didn't buy a franchise, did you? If you did, congratulations, and maybe you'll be successful in that realm. But for the rest of us, the majority of us, as we created or built something pretty new, okay, we might have integrated some old things that were already in place, like Jeff Bezos. He took the payment system of credit cards and the transportation system of UPS and the Postal Service and online selling commerce. He just integrated all that very differently, and now it's one of the most successful companies in the world. So listen to yourself. Okay, because you have gained all this wisdom throughout your life, throughout your experience, throughout your education, that now you need to put to work. So that is where I say this is very simple to just listen to yourself. What's very difficult is trusting that I can go ahead and do this now. So it goes right back to the last section of this self-trust. Okay, but you have to make the decision. When we sit in, well, I just listened to myself and it said I should do this, and you don't do anything, you can't find out if it was right or wrong. And that's going back to the beginning of this in the don't set rules section too, which was, you know what you need to do and you know when you need to do it. And that is that voice that's talking to you. Ah, yeah, you know, we'll go to the gym. Yeah, I probably need to go, you know, for a jog today. I had a lot of corned beef last night. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. I had a lot of corned beef yesterday. I probably should go for that jog today. And you're listening to it. But if you don't make the decision to do it, then nothing will happen from it. Tom, anything you want to add?
What I would just add, I think you very clear about tying this back to trust too. And your intuition is the thing that is going to always lead you right down the right path. Whether you choose to ignore it or not is really up to you. And it really does come down to a level of trust, because there's a lot of times we can get confused between what our intuition is saying and what our head is saying. And we have to trust ourselves enough to go with our intuition and go against what the head and the brain is saying. You know, it's really one of those things where, you know, your gut says, don't go down that alley, don't do it. And like the ego in you is like, oh yeah, I could go down that alley. I could beat up whoever comes my way. But when you get beat up at the end of that alley, you realize that you should have just trusted what you absolutely knew what was right for you. And that's what the intuition is, knowing exactly what is right for you. You're getting a signal from another part of the universe, from your internal intuition, whatever it is. And if you trust that, you will never make a mistake. You will never find yourself in a bad space, because that is the most important and probably the best advice that you could give yourself, is what your intuition is truly saying. So don't ignore it. Tap into it, use it, and trust yourself to use it.
And even, you know, I know you said you'll never go wrong, but I know I've listened to myself and I shouldn't have did that. I could have did it a different way. But here's the thing with that is, the majority of the time you're going to be right.
Okay? Right.
The majority of the time you're going to make the right decision. And as we've said in many other conversations or courses, is that being in business is about failing 70% of the time. So that right. only means you could be right 30% of the time. The point of everything that we do here at Atomic Business Coaching and what we're trying to accomplish in the Atomic Business Academy and Project 2740 is to allow you to start taking more action. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this is about. It's intuitive decision making, right? And this, if you make a decision, that leads to an action. And that's what we're trying to get at. So in the next section, we're going to talk about productivity. All right. So we told you don't have any rules. We told you to have flexibility. We told you to gain trust and trust your gut to make decisions. And it's like, well, I'm sure you're all like, well, how the heck can I be productive with all this nonsense? Okay. And yeah, right to be concerned about it, because what we're teaching you here is probably brand new to you and most likely a little scary, because you've gone through the education system in America and you've gone through a corporate America job where everything was structured and rules, and you got to be here at this time and do that thing and hand in those things and make sure the report's done and punch a clock and rules. So you're like, how the hell am I going to be productive if Adam and Tom are telling me there's no rules? And trust me, my gut the whole time has told me I don't want to be in this class right now, or man, I can't wait till Friday's here so I can enjoy my weekend at the job. The rules are what like made you do everything. Well, here's right. the key. It was about productivity. productivity is not about how much you get done.
Right.
Productivity is about getting more out of what you're doing. And if you don't set rules and you do things when you feel this is the right time and you trust that you're going to do them in that space and you know exactly what you're going to do, well, you're going to get more done in that time frame. Or if you're doing a certain project, you're going to take more out of that. Or if you're having a sales call, it's going to be more productive in the fact that you'll be in that conversation. Not, I have to do this. I get to do this. And that's what productivity really is. You know, people say, I'm so productive. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got this done. I got that done. I got these. Da, 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 da. And then like, but I have to finish it tomorrow and do this one next Thursday and do that. Well, that's not really productive. That's just elongating work and stacking things on top of each other. I would rather you work 1 hour a day and be really productive with it than work 15 hours a day and just keep kicking the can down the road with indecision and inactivity. That's not what productivity is about. So very simply put, productivity is not about doing more. It's about getting more out of what you do. All right, Tom. So let's go over what some next steps they can take and the expected results. All right?
Yep.
All right. Why don't you kick it off?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the next steps that you want to definitely take is know what you need to do. You have to start with your purpose. Okay. We constantly are saying to our clients, your purpose has to align with your actions and your actions have to align with your purpose. So what do you need to do? You need to know exactly what it is you want to accomplish.
Yeah. Next one I would say is self-trust. You know, one of the tactics we gave you, Tom talked about the fence. I talked about visualizing and writing things down. So that's something that you could do as well.
And then what's the one thing at a time that to get the most out of it, right? Just do one thing at a time and focus on getting as much out of that as possible. Like Adam said in the last section, it's not about doing more. It's getting more out of what you do. And if you can find that one thing that's going to give you more, and you will be very productive, and you will have learned how not to inflict extra responsibilities on yourself because you know exactly what you need to do.
So here's a quick rundown. No more rules, okay? Give yourself and retain that flexibility, which is probably one of the reasons you started this business. But trust yourself. Trust that you're actually going to do it. And listen to that inner voice. Listen to that gut feeling that you have. And most importantly is be productive in your new understanding of what productivity is. So what should you really expect from this? Well, what we would expect you to get is freedom and success through the productivity. That's really why you're here to do this. So we hope that you've gained some great wisdom out of this and you can take action. We'll look forward to hearing all about this in our Q&A sessions. And until next time, we'll see you.
Attention all Starfleet personnel. New York's only fan-run Star Trek convention, Trek Long Island, is back this summer. Get ready for 3 days of sci-fi fun celebrating your favorite franchise in the Empire State. Meet the stars from Trek shows spanning different eras, including Melissa Navia and Yatidi Padaki from Strange New Worlds, Gabrielle Ruiz from Lower Decks, Armin Shimerman, Chase Masterson, J.G. Hertzler, and Kitty Swink from DS9, Ethan Phillips from Voyager, Janet Kidder, Tara Rosling, Conrad Coates, and Elias Defexis from Discovery, and many more, including celebrities who haven't been at a Star Trek convention in years, like Clyde Kasatsu, Natalia Nogalich, and Daphne Ashbrook. Come meet your fellow fans. Take in a panel with your favorite podcasters. Enjoy dinner with the stars, featuring live musical performances. Meet authors, artists, and musicians, and so many more during this epic 3-day event brought to you by the talented and inclusive community that makes Star Trek go at warp speed. Trek Long Island takes place from May 31st to June 2nd at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Hauppauge, New York. Visit treklongisland.com for tickets, exclusive packages, and more information. Trek Long Island, going kindly this summer.